Hey sis, and welcome back to the Sisters Podcast. I'm Lois Webster.
I'm Bree Neighbors.
And I'm Jada Ware.
We are sad to say today that Lydia is having to take a little bit of a step back from the podcast, so it'll just be us three. We love Lydia so much. We're so thankful for the contribution that she has given to this podcast. But for now, it's just going to be the three of us. So today we are talking about making your faith your own. Okay, I had a girl ask me one time, how do I know my faith is mine? And I was just thinking, girl, like, how am I supposed to answer that for you? Like, come on. So I think we all need to have an answer to this question. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we know we own our faith? Like, my faith is mine. So how mm-hmm. do you make your faith your own?
I've been studying a lot for a lesson while also writing for the podcast. And so a lot of that has been in the forefront of my mind. And so this was kind of mixing in with my other thing. And you have to know your why. I don't think enough of us, especially our generation, know the why as to why am I serving God? Why should my faith be my own? And so then because we don't know that, then our faith is actually not our own. And do we actually have real faith? I think that's why I mentioned our generation, like college age. We see a lot of them, well, first they're college age. So obviously they're going off to college and leaving behind maybe the church family they had, their real family, and maybe their friends that were encouraging to them as well. But then also even if you don't leave home, like I didn't leave home, you're entering this age where, okay, now I'm actually given the freedom to make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, we leave and then we realize like, oh, wait, it makes us come to the realization, was my faith my own? Did I actually go to church because I wanted to worship the Lord? Or did I just go because I knew my parents would be mad or my preacher would be mad or my friends would contact me? Mm-hmm. Was I actually going for the Lord? I think of Galatians 1:10, do I seek to please men or God? Or do I seek to... For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And I think we use this a lot for people pleasers, but this applies here because why wouldn't we be a bondservant of Christ? Because we were seeking to please men. And so mm-hmm. that's what you're doing when you are going to church because, okay, my family told me to, my friends told me to, my preacher, he would get upset, people at church would get upset. Yeah. And so we're actually seeking to please men and we're not growing our faith. And your faith will never be your own if we don't know why. And the only way to find that why is to study scripture daily, Romans 10:17, and build a desire in your heart for heaven. Because if we don't have that desire, again, we're not going to have that faith, that true mm-hmm. faith. And that only comes by studying scripture.
Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. for me, when I moved out, my faith grew so much. Like you said, just mm-hmm. because like I didn't have somebody keeping me accountable anymore. Like if I slept in and didn't go to Bible class, which I've never done, but if I did, right. there wouldn't be somebody there like banging on my door or getting me in trouble, you know, or like more than just worship. If I wanted to go out with these people, if I wanted to have these people over, if I wanted to do this or that, mm-hmm. like nobody's there to tell me no, nobody's there. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So that is like really when I had to stand firm. I'm like, this is what the standard is. This is what the Bible says. And this is why I have faith. Mm-hmm.
I think another way to say making your faith your own is to say own your own faith. If your faith depends on who you're around or what they're doing, you're just borrowing their faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you only have faith because your parents do, you're borrowing your parents' faith. Just borrowing something, it's not yours. A borrowed faith won't make it to heaven, and you must have ownership of your faith. Mm-hmm. So how do we have ownership of our faith? I think we need to make sure our relationship with God is personal. You should be so close with God that not one person or thing can get in between that. And if every person in your life was stripped away from you, you would still have that faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard it said by like a lot of people and seen it in my life that being uncomfortable in like different trials mm-hmm. grows your faith so much. Like if you're comfortable, it's so much easier to say like, yeah, I have faith. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually put to the test, can you actually own your faith? Like you said, like, is my faith actually real and genuine? That's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what made my faith my own was when I was in the most uncomfortable situation in my life. And when I was, it was like, oh, wait, is my faith actually my own? Or did my faith rely on, in this instance, my faith relied on the relationship I was in. Mm-hmm. And because it was a long-term relationship. And so I realized like, oh, wait, I'm not studying like I should. This wasn't really based on scripture. And I think we can fall into that as well. And I'm not saying you shouldn't study with the person you're in a relationship with, or even just like friendships. Like you should be studying with mm-hmm. your friends and studying with people that you're in a relationship with. But we also have to make sure that we're studying to show ourselves approved mm-hmm. unto God. And so that was one thing that I realized when I was in the most uncomfortable situation. And I don't think I would have realized that if I was never uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I think back to my point about being uncomfortable in the trials, that made me think of 1 Peter 1:6-7, which says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Mm-hmm. That makes you think.
Yeah, it does. I think Noah is one of the biggest examples of someone whose faith was truly his own. The whole world was doing what was right in their own eyes, and if Noah didn't make his faith his own, he would have been right there with them. Yeah. That's making your faith your own. He was the only one. If I lived in the days of Noah, would I have gotten on the ark? Would I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or would I have been flooded with sin too?
I think the faith of Noah is something I've always admired so much, because mm-hmm. his faith led not only him, but his family to also have faith. And we're told in scripture even that they hadn't even seen rain. We don't know for a fact that they hadn't seen rain, but it said in chapter 2 of Genesis that they hadn't seen rain. And then in Hebrews 11, it says having faith of things not seen.
Yeah.
So they either they hadn't seen rain or they hadn't seen a flood before. But either way, something that I've never seen, having faith through that. And can we say the same for us? Having faith like that strong. And it makes me think of John 20:29, which says, "Blessed are those who have not seen but believe."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think of in Hebrews 11, Noah's mentioned, and he's mentioned along with other people, and it says, "By faith, this, this, and this." And it's when you read about faith in Scripture, I think it's really important to read about specifically for the faith that people in Scripture had, because then when we look at ourselves, because when I did that, I was like, "Oh wait, I don't think that that's the kind of faith that I have," but that's the kind of faith that Scripture tells us we need to have. And in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." And I love how it says impossible. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
It's impossible to please him without faith. And so if our faith isn't our own, then we can't be pleasing to him, because we're not having the faith that Scripture actually talks about. And then that same verse goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to ask ourselves, am I diligently seeking him? And if we realize we aren't, we have to start doing that. And we have to start figuring out, how can I get this faith? Because if I don't have this faith, it's impossible for me to please God.
And it has to be intentional. Like it's not just going to happen. Like you said, diligently seeking.
Yeah, that's not an accident.
You have to be intentional with this. Mm-hmm. And just studying for this, I was like, okay, can I own my faith? Right. Do I have an answer for that question? Yeah. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Because we have to.
I think the way Noah made his faith his own, Genesis 6:3 says he walked with God. He had the personal relationship with God that we're talking about. He walked with God. So what does that even mean, to walk with God? Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require, the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." The King James Version says, "Walk in the Spirit." And if you read the verses before, what does that mean? It's the verses that we read about walking in the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Mm-hmm. Those are key things that we need to own our faith. So Noah made his faith his own by walking with God.
This makes me think back to our episode about walking the line of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And getting as close to as you can, that's not walking with God. Getting as close to sin as you can is not walking with God. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Walking with God means you are in complete agreement with him. Complete agreement with him and in his ways. I have a note in my Bible next to this verse that says, "If I'm not walking with God, then I'm walking in the wrong direction." No one is perfect, but I think when you're walking with God and truly desiring His will over ours and putting to death all of our selfish desires, then you'll see your life transformed so much. Because He wants you to look like His Son, and you're not going to do that without diligently seeking Him and owning your faith.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We've talked about this in another episode, but when we decide to walk with God, that, like you said, that means we have to get rid of things because we're not going to be the same person as we were before when we were walking in darkness. And Romans 13:12 specifically says to cast off works of darkness and then put on the armor of light. That means we have to sit down, evaluate our life, and ask, am I still walking in darkness in any aspect of my life? And if the answer is yes, then we have to change that. And we have to figure out, what do I need to take off so that I can replace it with the armor of light?
I just turned to Ephesians 2, which verses like 1 through 4. I love this because verse 4 says, but God, like just those two words are so powerful because God can take us from being dead in sin, but God.
Right.
I love that.
I think another person that comes to my mind is Daniel. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chiefs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel wouldn't defile himself and take part in that idolatry. It was happening all around him. The reason he could do this is because he had already purposed in his heart. And purposing in your heart, this means to plan. Daniel already had a plan for when those compromising situations would come. Yeah. He already knew what he was going to do. Daniel purposing in his heart left only God's purpose.
We aren't going to defeat the devil by accident. Mm-mm. It's not just going to be like, okay, you know, like whatever. The devil is coming at us like a lion, a roaring. Is that right?
Yeah.
Why does that sound so wrong? Like, every episode I say something wrong. A roaring lion.
Yeah.
And if it's not purposed in our heart like Daniel, he will devour us. He will.
So we should just have a plan like, okay, when this situation happens, this is how I'm going to respond to that situation. And that's purposing in your heart.
Galatians 6:7-8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he will also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall also reap life everlasting. This goes back to just being intentional. You're going to reap what you sow. And if you are trying to get as close to the devil as you can and not truly owning your faith, then you're going to reap that.
Psalm 119:9-11. I think we've talked about this subject before, but I think it's really important here. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We're always told that we need to have a plan for situations, and we obviously do need to have a plan for situations, because there's some that we just know this is probably going to be something that comes up in my life. But a lot of situations we're not going to know. Like, you're just going to be like, oh, well, I never thought that that would happen in my life, but it did. But what happens is when we have God's word in our heart, we know how we're going to react. And it's not that we've like practiced every single thing that's going to happen, and okay, if someone says this specific word, then this is how I'm going to respond. But
you don't think that, Brie?
I know. I probably actually do, but anyway, like, sorry. Just having no, you're fine. Having God's word in your heart is what's going to make us change. I was put in a situation that I was like, oh, I didn't think this would ever happen in my life, but it did, and I showed up somewhere and I didn't know that this specific thing was going on. And
we love the details.
Yeah, I know. So I walk in and immediately was uncomfortable. Immediately. And I literally, I think it was like maybe a full minute to 2 minutes. And in my head, I literally said, Jesus would not be here. Why? I don't want to be here if he's not here. And I turned around and I walked away and I left and went home. And at that, I always thought like I would be so embarrassed, or that because I'm kind of a people pleaser. And so I'd be like, I'm scared that if I was ever put in that situation, that I would be like scared to hurt people's feelings or scared that what people might think. But in that moment, I was not. Like, it was just like, I'm leaving. I don't want to be here. And it wasn't embarrassing. It actually, I felt strong doing it and strong in my faith. And it's not like a pat on the back, Brie. It's because...
I'll pat you on the back. You owned your faith. Good job.
But just knowing God's word and studying, if I had never studied God's word and had been in his word and had been in uncomfortable situations beforehand that led my faith to being my own, then I know that I would have never done that. Mm-hmm. But it's what happens when you start reading his word, when you
get into his word. It makes it a lot easier to own your faith when you know what your faith is about.
Right. And that it's who you become.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wasn't embarrassed. I didn't really care what they thought, because who I was not someone who would be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that point you made. If Jesus wasn't there, then why would you be there? I love that. Like, that should be just a key thought in our lives every day. Would Jesus be right here? Mm-hmm. Would Jesus be here? Because if he's not, why am I?
Right.
Be imitators of Christ as dear children, Ephesians 5:2.
And I'm not saying that, like, if you are in that situation and you do have those feelings, like, that you do walk away, but you are a little embarrassed and it does feel a little scary. I'm not saying that you're, like, wrong or that it's wrong to do so. I'm just saying that when we start getting into the word more and more and more, that becomes easier.
It can be hard because of, like, those are your friends, obviously. Right, yeah. If you're in that situation, those are your friends. And being the only one to be like, we shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. I'm a Christian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
It is hard.
Very hard. So you go, Brie. Love you.
Love you.
Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Mm. So I think Daniel made his faith his own by aligning his purpose with God's purpose. Mm-hmm. So it's not, he wasn't just purposing in his heart what he wanted to do. He was purposing in his heart to follow through with what God would want him to do.
And then Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down. They got thrown into a fiery furnace. Like, they owned their faith.
Yes,
like,
they did.
Pat them on the back too. Like, go boys. Boys, they're probably older than me, but I call everybody a kid, so it's okay.
Job was someone else who made his faith his own.
Oh, yeah.
Job, he didn't understand why he was suffering. He had no clue about the conversation between God and the devil. Mm-hmm. But through it all, Job remained faithful.
I love Job. Sorry, I had to say that.
Even when his own wife was telling him to curse God.
Yes.
Job 2:9-10 said, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women who would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Mm. So if Job's faith was just borrowed from his wife, he would have cursed God and died. But his faith was his own. He had ownership of that faith. Job 13:15 says, though he slays me, yet I will hope in him. Job didn't know what it was, but his suffering did have a purpose. He had his faith in God, and that's how he made his faith his own, by putting his hope in God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To us, Job lost everything. Like, if we were to lose our job, our kids, our animals, our way of income, like, I already said job, but you get the point. Like, would I be able to say the same? That's just insane. Because to the world, Job lost everything. Job lost everything. But in reality, Job still had everything because he had God.
He had all he needed.
He had literally everything because he had God. But would that be enough for us? Like, could I say that? Like, could Lois say, if I lost everything, I would still have everything? Self-reflection there.
The way he reacts, truly, I think the way we react can truly show our faith and reflect our faith. Yeah. And the way that he reacted, I remember reading this and I was like, Job.
Like, go.
Like, that's mind-blowing.
It really is.
What was Job's first reaction? In Job 1:20, it says, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. Job's first reaction was to worship God.
Wow.
And he says in verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. What is our first reaction when we're obviously, we probably will never experience what Job experienced.
Yeah.
But even if we experienced a small portion of what Job experienced, what is our first reaction?
Why is this happening to
right.
me?
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Like, he didn't even curse God with his lips. Like he never questioned. That's wow.
And that's normally the first thing that, I mean, specifically worldly people do, because obviously they don't know God. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's what we do. We don't, it's not, our first reaction isn't to fall down and worship or to try to make our faith stronger. Our first reaction is normally like, why is this happening? Yeah. What did I do? That's a big one for me. Like, what did I do? Mm-hmm. So for Job to just, to fall down and worship and to say, or to not curse God, is just amazing.
And I think it's easy to worship God when everything is going well, but it's in moments like these that really shows our faith when we feel hopeless, but we know that God is the one that gives us hope.
Getting uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, being uncomfortable is a blessing. Like, that's hard to put into our minds, but being uncomfortable is what grows us closer to God in the end, because that makes us long for heaven.
Is it in James that says the trials of your faith produces patience?
Right. Mm-hmm. Scripture tells us that. It literally tells us that.
Job had to learn a lot
of
patience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we need to learn some from him, that's for sure. Yeah. I think it's just, we get so comfortable in this world. Like, we have our friends, we have the things that make us happy and like all this stuff. And when we do go through these different things, that is what is like, hey, this world is not my home. Mm-hmm. I'm just a passing through.
Being too comfortable can be really dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a dangerous
game. Dangerous game. Catchphrase. In case you haven't noticed, I say dangerous game all the time.
So pretty much every episode.
Now you can look out for it. I think somebody else who owned his faith was Abraham. Like, Abraham and Sarah waited so long to have a son. And then once he finally did get a son, he was going to sacrifice him.
Yeah.
Like, that is the, like, such a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
That faith was,
Yeah.
You go, buddy. Proud of you.
Well, someone who definitely we read of that did not own their faith in certain situations was Peter.
Oh, yeah.
In Luke 22, Peter is with Jesus and he tells him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then later in the same chapter, we read of him denying Jesus. Luke 22:54-59 says, Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, This man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, You are also one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. And an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, Certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Where was the same Peter that was saying he'd go to prison and death with Jesus? He was unashamed to stand with Jesus when it was easy, when he was with Jesus. But when consequences would come from proclaiming his faith, where did it go?
Oh, yeah. I think it's easy for a lot of us to fake our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we, like Peter, will say, like, we're all the way in, we're all the way in, we're all the way in. But then when it comes down to the moment, were we faking it the whole time?
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of self-reflecting.
And it's really, it is easy for us to look at this and see Peter's flaws. Like, what in the world are you doing, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
But we are, when we're surrounded by Christians, it's so easy to say Jesus is Lord. But what about when you're the only one?
Yeah.
When everyone around you is denying him, do you still have that same faith? If not, your faith isn't your own and you're borrowing it from the people around you.
You can fool everybody around you, but you can't fool God.
You can't.
I think it's also important to note that denying him can be us just being silent. If we're not actively standing up for him, then we are denying him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a good question to ask ourselves, where do I go when I have to stand up for the God that I serve? I am very much a people pleaser. I've already mentioned that in probably more than just this episode. But the more that I own my faith, the more that I study God's word, the more that people-pleasing when it comes to my faith just completely vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
Because my the person that I am, my personality starts conforming to scripture. And so I think it's a good thing to ask ourselves, where have I gone? Where am I when I have to stand up mm-hmm. for God? And if we think that we are like Peter and we've kind of like gone away and we deny him in front of people, mm-hmm. then that's a sign that we need to be studying yeah. more mm-hmm. and a sign that we need to be growing our faith more and that maybe our faith isn't what we thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And I think Peter was just really afraid of the consequences he would yeah. face. And sometimes we find ourselves in those situations too. Maybe we could lose our job
yeah.
or lose friends mm-hmm. and it's scary, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, we can lose all of that just like Job did and still have everything.
So how do we make our faith our own? What are like some practical things you think?
Well, we talked about walking with God like Noah
yeah.
did.
Yeah. If you aren't actively walking with God, then you're walking with the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then like Daniel did, he purposed in his heart.
Mm-hmm. I think that's Psalm 119:11 would be a good verse for this. Hold up. I feel like I could quote it, but I'm already here at this point. So. Just your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Yeah, I really just quoted that. I didn't even read it. For some reason, I just wanted to have it open there.
Putting your hope in God is so important.
Mm.
Like oh, Job
yeah.
did.
Oh, yeah.
His hope wasn't in the people around him, the things around him. It was in God.
Romans 15:13 says that God is the God of hope and that we abound in him. We can abide by him and hope by the power of the Spirit. Hope built on anything besides God will disappoint.
Yeah.
Every single time, never fails.
If Job's hope was in those things, he would have been very disappointed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then being unashamed of your faith, even when you're going to face consequences and trials and hard times,
mm-hmm.
you have to be completely unashamed of your faith still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God.
Hmm.
So it is, and again, that being unashamed comes with studying scripture, comes with doing self-evaluation so that we can know, and when that's tested, that we can actually say, I truly am unashamed mm-hmm. of the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matthew 10:32-33 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. That literally gives me chills.
Me too.
Literally gives me chills.
Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Hmm.
So why would we want to please men when they can't really mm-hmm. give us anything, but God has the power right. to salvation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think the last thing is to truly examine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?
So I think we just all have to look at ourselves and make sure we're not lying to ourselves when we say, do we mm-hmm. own our faith? Like in every situation, do we own our faith when I'm around you guys? Do I own my faith when I'm not around y'all, when I'm around mm-hmm. the people I work with, when I'm around friends, when I'm around people in the grocery store? Like, yeah. am I always, if you're not always owning your faith, you don't own your faith.
You don't own it at all.
Yeah.
You can't be halfway in.
No.
Right.
Being lukewarm, Jesus will literally spew you out of
mm-hmm.
his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have one foot in the world and the rest of you in the church, because then you're just fully gone.
Yeah.
Mm. That really.
You have to have a full membership of faith.
Oh, my stars. Well, we hope today that we have been able to help you reflect on if you truly own your faith, because this is just such a big deal. Oh, man. I mean, hopefully we have stressed the importance of this, obviously, today. But thank you for listening to us. And we are excited to say that we now have some sweatshirts and t-shirts available on our website. If you would like to be a sister supporter, we would love it if you would wear it around so that people could be like, hey, what's the Sisters Podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And then look us up. We want to get hitting the mic every day. We want to get the word out to as many people as we can, and we're hoping that this will help us do so. So thank you so much for listening to us, and we'll see you later. Bye.